You are now tuned in to the Bleed Blue Show. Here are your hosts, Steve Blair and Chris Miles.
Welcome to the Bleed Blue Show, forum for the fans. I'm your co-host, Steve. I'm also my Bleed Blue partner in crime, Chris. And joined by Knickerbocker's own Angel, as we be discussing New York Knicks basketball, the Bleed Blue Show way, 929-477-4171 to the Bleed Blue Show. Press that number one button on your touchtone phone to be live on the air for any questions or comments. BleedBlueShow.com, the Facebook fan page, the Bleed Blue Show, powered by Knickerbocker Ave, by the way. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that at the Bleed Blue Show. Today we discuss Klee Anthony Early, spotlight on Mr. Early. Hopefully get a little bit of history from the Godfather, trivia by yours truly, bleedblueshow@gmail.com for all comments to be read on the air. But Knickerbocker Ave, Chris, what's going on? How y'all doing?
So far, so good, bro. How you doing, man? I'm trying to get informed as well, man. I got to catch up with all of this doing art. I'm way behind, so hopefully, you know, mostly the Godfather in his own right, Mr. Knickerbocker, let us know all about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, what else can I be but the certified rumor killer here? Oddly enough, there's no rumors this week for me to mention, so I got nothing to do today. All I did pretty much was, like, you know, think about how the NBA stacked, and I've been meaning to ask Steve when we're going to do our pre-NBA show, but that's for, like, later down the road.
I got you, man. I got you. We have so many episodes. That's a nice little plug, by the way, because we will be getting to that Knickerbocker Ave, doing that part two on the mentality of a Knickerbocker fan. I have not forgot about that. Got to get the core four in first, and then we'll get on the fan-friendly podcast. Speaking of that, Blues Day recap, the ring is in the archive. You can go to Yankee shows for the dugout. Actually, tomorrow we'll be doing the Yankees. God damn, I know. The Yankees right now. Can't get our own way with Houston. Houston did. I'm not worried about that, though, honestly. I think once we get through this little rough patch, we'll be fine. And I'll tell you why when we do the dugout on Thursday. And, of course, the New York Football Giants, Roundtable Sunday, 6 p.m., Overtime edition. We'll be discussing Giants versus Jets. So all you Jet fans that lurk and listen to the Bleed Blue Show in private and secret, we will be talking shit about your Jets. So, you know, you'll be on here. That actually will be during the live the fantasy football draft for the Bleed Blue Show. That's actually this Sunday. So you check out all that audio. Oh, and also the audio archives for the division by division NFL with Doom Radio, the AFC, NFC North, AFC, NFC West, AFC, NFC South. All in the archives. All these episodes for our core four teams, Knicks, Giants, Rangers, Yankees, hashtag KGYR. Also a fan friendly podcast. Tune in, iTunes, Podcast Republic, or you can go to bleedblueshow.com/podcast. Go right to the website and get the episodes right there, guys. Ooh, I'm tired.
Go take a nap, man.
Yeah, I think I might take a nap and wake up for the trivia, man. I'm really thinking about that, man. There's no nicknames. We might as well jump right into it. Let's get to the fan forum, get the fans on, and get their perspective. As everybody knows, this is a fan-friendly show where co-hosts and the callers, we call stakeholders, have equal say. And there's none other than one of the biggest stakeholders for this platform who reps our New York Knicks, and he reps the Giants, too. Shout-outs to him on that, and the Yankees. But shout-outs to our dude, Marlo, who's calling in from Brooklyn. Let's bring him on. Marlo, what's going on? How you doing?
What's up, Bleed Blue Crew, Steve, Godfather, Knickerbocker
Ave?
What's up?
Sir, what's up, my friend?
I just want to give a quick shout-out to Jorge Posado. Andy Pettit,
yes,
getting their numbers and their jerseys retired. It was a great celebration, even though the Yankees kind of messed up. I hope CC comes back all right. And another big shout-out to O.C. Umeoro, who signed that one-day contract, and he retired a Giant today. Big shout-outs to all of them, all the legends in New York. And that was just a good week, you know, when it comes to celebrating some of these guys from other teams. And hopefully, you know, we could be saying the same thing about some of these Knicks. I'm hoping and praying. Oh, and a real quick shout-out. I forget this guy's name on Twitter because I get on, quote-unquote, Nick fans a lot. But this Nick guy, he said something so, he did something so funny. Emmanuel Mudiay tweeted, I'm a Nugget. And one of the Knicks fans retweeted back and said, we Knicks fans are glad you are, too.
Damn.
I was like, damn. I forgot his name, but when I saw that retweet,
I'm buying him a beer.
Dying.
I'm going to find this dude. I'm going to buy this dude a beer.
That's nice comp. That was a nice
comp. You're a Nugget, too.
That's wow, for sure. Yeah. I can't even front. That was nice. That was funny. Yeah. Hey, what's your thoughts, Amaro, as far as the Knicks?
You know, I was just watching the stuff. You know, Melo finishes very Melo weekend, and, you know, some of the guys are out there. KP was out there, Grant, and Kylo Quinn. A few guys out there, you know, they were running some drills, running some laps, and he was showing some leadership and stuff with it. So, you know, it was just a good scene to see the guys. And it's great seeing them working out because Kevin Serafin, especially, his workout is crazy. It's like the man doesn't take off. He works out twice a day. Sasha Vujacek is even doing some boxing. And, you know, the workouts, these guys, and Melo's workouts are looking great. And his jump is looking mad sweet. I mean, I know it was just some practice, but Melo's jump is just on point again. You know, it's just amazing how Carmelo Anthony is and how special he is and how stupid a lot of some of these fans don't appreciate him. But I won't get into that right now. But I'm really liking what I'm seeing that these guys – like kind of taking this, they got their head, and even Derek Williams too. Derek Williams, his because you know Phil challenged him, and you know his workout videos and stuff is going out pretty good. So I'm just really impressed seeing that these guys are kind of focusing and starting to do their work right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
man. Good point.
All right, but I understand we have another great point, but another we have a caller from the 845. Caller from the 845. State your name. Where are you calling from?
Hey, what's going on? This is Jeff from Briningsville, Pennsylvania.
Hey, what's going on, man? What up, Jeff? What's up, Jeff? Welcome back to the family, man. What's up, man?
What's going on?
Nice middle of summer. Just talk a little bit of Knicks. You already know how this platform gets down. Equal say for all the co-hosts. Equal say for the stakeholders. We have this beautiful Knicks dialogue. Anything on your mind with the Knicks today? We discussed a little bit of Klay Anthony early, or anything Knicks on your mind.
Klay Anthony early. That's the first topic today.
Well, it's the top. It was the focal point. But is anything on your mind really on this show?
Anything
when it comes to the Knicks?
Yeah, I'm sure I have a lot on my mind to unload for you guys. I mean, being that this is my second time calling in, so I'm sure I could spew on about anything really that comes to the Knicks. But I'm just happy to be back. I've been looking forward to it all day, honestly, because there aren't too many people that I know that really know their shit about Knicks. So it's kind of hard to have a conversation with anybody that doesn't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Well, you're gonna have a hard time finding that in Pennsylvania.
I know, from personal experience. I'll tell you what, I got a nice little update into my personal life involving the Knicks. My wife.
Go for it.
My wife the other day, she surprised me with a Lakers ticket to the Knicks Lakers on November 8th. So I'll get to see Kobe Bryant maybe in his last year, played a lot of time in the Garden. So that was a really nice surprise.
If you wasn't married, I would say marry that woman.
Yeah,
do you think that so is this Kobe's actual last year?
Yes.
He didn't definitely, but it should be.
So let me ask this then. Is he going to have the 32 arena go around commemorative rocking chairs? You know how they do. They did it for Jabbar, and they did it for Dr. J. End of career shit. You know the commemorative. You know every arena you go to. he's going to get that kind of love because Philadelphia's going to pound him. I just want you to know that.
Well, yeah. if that's the case, I'm pretty sure Denver will just hand him a box of condoms and a lock.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
Damn. That might be our future assistant coach.
Yeah, because I think that's what's going to happen. He hasn't been – I'm not talking about his abilities. I'm talking about his popularity has never been at the, you know, at the apex of any of the other, you know, surefire Hall of Famers. I'd say he was more Elvin Hayes than Michael Jordan in that sense, you know. So it's going to be really, really interesting. I just never – for some reason it passed me by the fact that this was going to be his final season.
Yeah,
so that's very interesting. That's very interesting. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, but hold that thought, guys, because we have another caller. This caller is from the 818. Caller from the 818. State your name. Where are you calling from?
Gentlemen, what's up? My name is Sean. I'm calling from Los Angeles, California.
Whoa.
Hey, Sean, what's up?
My man.
L.A.
Is that
S-H or S-E-A? It's S-E-A.
Okay, cool. What's up, Sean?
What's up, guys? I mean, I've been listening to you guys for about the last 2 months or so, and I've never really had time to give you guys a call and just talk Knicks, and it's like it's one of one of my favorite 2 hours. Basically, I subscribed to you guys on iTunes, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to call in and talk some Knicks with these guys. So just wanted to come in and share my thoughts of the off season.
Welcome.
Wow, please do.
Definitely.
Because I want
to
know stuff
about.
Shout out
to you.
So who are you a fan of, Sean? Are you a fan of the Clippers or are you a Lakers guy?
I'm a Knicks fan.
You must be the piece of meat in the lion's den out there, boy.
you have no idea. I was, but I've been a Knicks fan since 1990. My parents, they were in Brooklyn, and then I was born here, so they kind of wanted me to like New York teams, but so I just became a Knicks fan because of that, and that was kind of when right before Riley took over, and so from there I pretty much started watching the Knicks, and I fell in love with the 90s team, Starks and Oakley and Patrick, of course, and then obviously with Allen and Spree, and then, you know, just the whole history of the Knicks, so... that's pretty much how I became a fan. So growing up, you know, in middle school and I took so much, you know, shit from so many people and,
I can imagine,
you know, all the Laker fans were Bulls fans. They're all Bulls fans in at that period. They were, you know,
sure,
and then they became Laker fans again. And, it's like, and now they're Warrior fans now.
That's
the Warrior Clipper fans now. You know, so it's like, that's just the way it is,
right.
But through
bandwagon.
It all, man, yeah, I would go to Staples Center, go to the Great Western Forum, LA Sports Arena, to watch all the Knicks games. I even watched one game in Anaheim where Patrick hit a game winner when they closed down the Sports Arena and the game was played in Anaheim Pond. So, yeah, so definitely a longtime fan, and I'm really excited for what we've been doing. I think we're building a team from scratch, which I like. I like the we're not getting in, you know, to me, we haven't been getting in trouble with any long-term crazy Amari Stoudemire-type contracts. I think now a lot of people are talking about we shouldn't have given Carmelo the money. That's a major complaint. Well, you can't really rebuild when you have Carmelo. But my thought is that sometimes you need an asset like that, an asset like Carmelo. Best case scenario is that he stays here, he works out, he's a good fit for the triangle. But another scenario is that he shows that he can still play ball and he wants to go to a winning team like a Houston or a Chicago or something. He asks for a trade and we get some assets to build our team the right way. And if you let Carmelo walk in free agency, if you let him walk in free agency, that's one asset we don't have. And we all know the Knicks need assets. And that's the only way we're going to that's the only way we're going to get a 2016 first round pick is if Carmelo, if the season ends, says, go ahead, draft day, whatever, send me somewhere, you know. And, you know, I think we have to look at it that way versus, oh, why do we spend all this money on Carmelo? And you have to give Carmelo a chance. You have to give him a chance to play within the system when he's healthy. And if Knicks make the playoffs, you have to consider ourselves, you know, everyone's going to have $20 million more cap space. But if somehow the Knicks make it in the playoffs, you have to think that more people are going to be interested in playing in the system alongside Carmelo, because I think the truth of the matter is people, a lot of people respect Carmelo more than the media thinks. You know what I'm saying? That's the way I feel about it. But so I'm just excited with these moves. I think defensive-minded guys makes me happy. And, you know, I've loved Kyle Quinn for a long time, so I'm happy to see him there. A follow, I think, is a little underrated. I think he just kind of didn't really know his role. I think he's been banged up. But if you look at his per-point average, it's the same per-point average that J.R. Smith had. So if J.R. Smith could average 15, a follow could average 15. Yeah, that's the way I see it. And he'll play better defense, and he'll be a better locker room guy. So I think that's a plus. So, well, you know, I could go on forever, so you guys need to stop me.
Sean, wait. On that note, Sean, before I bring you up the call, listen, let me ask you a question. It's a two-part question, actually, because I know you talk a lot of basketball out there. So, number one, do you sport the gear? And number two, what do your compatriots, partners, friends, whoever you deal with, what do they think of Phil Jackson right now?
Oh, this is a great question. There is nothing but love and respect for Phil Jackson and Derek Fisher in L.A. from Laker fans and from regular fans. They wish that they had what we had. They are, you know, they look at their situation and they recognize that they don't have, you know, basketball minds. They really look at it and go, oh, shit, we wish we would have had Phil instead of D'Antoni. We wish we would have Phil running the front office and having Fisher do it, learning and building a team from scratch, you know. And mm-hmm. I went to Vegas with my buddy Greg, who's a big-time season ticket holder from New York, and he flew down. And we went to Vegas together, and all Laker faithful there in Vegas, and we were behind the Knicks bench rooting on the entire game. And that arena got silent after, like, 3 minutes. And I'll never forget what happened. I mean, everybody was just like, wow. You know, everybody was very, very impressed with the way the Knicks came out. And everybody was pretty much saying, damn, you guys are going to be all right. Don't worry. Be patient with Porzingis. Totally changing the script on what everybody's been saying about us. And there was a free throw. I forgot who was shooting a free throw, but it was dead silent by, like, late second quarter in that game. And Phil was sitting with Steve Mills and James Dolan and Jeannie Buss, and it was super quiet. And I got up because I was right there behind the bench, and I basically said, Mr. Jackson. And he looked up. I couldn't believe it. He looked up, and I said, Phil, thank you so much for everything you're doing. And he tipped his cap. He didn't have a cap on, but he tipped his head. And Mills looked up, and Mills kind of smiled, too. I was hoping to tell Dolan something, but he was on his cell phone. He didn't look up. But anyway, so all the Laker fans were like, oh, dude, like, wow, he acknowledged you or whatever. But it was so quiet in that arena that Phil Jackson could hear. That just tells you how the Knicks were able to come through. And the Laker fans recognized that, and they were jealous. So I think that that's a big sign. And, yes, I do wear my Knicks gear. I go to the game every time they're in town, for sure.
Well, don't be a stranger no more. You need to call us, man. And you need to call in, like, especially when the season gets in full swing, man, because there's going to be a lot of things happening. We need to hear that coast-to-coast feedback, bro. So that's good. That's good.
Well, stay on the line. This is a hold on. We're stay on the line. It's a fan forum. Knicks fans have equal say. We go around. We pick each other's brains. It's great audio for the archives, as we already know. We're gonna bring on the next couple callers real quick right now. Before we bring on the next caller, everybody just mute your phones so we can limit as much background noise as we possibly can. But Knickerbocker, who we have next?
We have the caller from the 631. Caller from the 631. State your name, where you calling from, and bring that fire, bro.
Sean. Calling from Deer Park.
Nick Strike Back. What's up?
Yeah, that be me. What's
How
going
doing,
on, fellas?
Yo,
what's
pretty
up,
good,
man?
Good, man. This
good,
is the hashtag
good, you know.
Nick's Matrix on the line, coast to coast. What's going on, Nick Strike Back?
Oh, Nick Strike right. Back. Okay.
Yeah. I kind of stole that from somebody, so, you know. He might sue me if it ever blows up, you know. Lucasfilm, George Lucas, he might sue me.
Yeah, I follow your tweets.
Yeah, definitely. You know, just listening to you guys, you know. Just listening, that's all going on. We end up on the Knicks, waiting for the season to start, man. I'm waiting, I'm telling you. To see what's gonna happen. For real.
All right. Okay.
All right.
What's up next, bro?
All right. You know who I'm bringing up next. My brother from another mother. My homie on the Ave. My man is Tim. Dog, where you at, dog?
See, Sam.
Steve.
What's going on, man?
Ave, Godfather. My brothers, what's going on?
Sam, what's up, bro?
My boy right there.
Hey, what's going on, man?
I sent that dude.
Marlo.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, this must be I gotta say, this must be the quietest mixed broadcast I've heard in some time, man.
We ain't got no rumors.
You know what I'm saying? I came on a little bit late, so I don't know what we're talking about, so I couldn't really jump right into it. Wait.
I done killed every rumor we got.
Hey, yeah, he killed every rumor we got, and we waiting on you to bring it up, whatever it is. So whatever it is, you bring it up right now.
I don't got no rumors, man. I'm just waiting for the season to start like everybody else, man. I'm waiting to see what's going on.
Wait a minute, Knickerbocker, have nothing in the archives?
That's all, man.
Dog, we got nothing.
Well, how y'all feel?
I will say this. I did like the fact that even though my man Mello was in PR this weekend, that he had a lot of the guys come out, a lot of the new guys come out and support him. And, you know, they had a little workout while he was out there. So, you know, that's pretty good for me, man, because probably took that as a vacation to relax. But they was out there and they decided to work. It kind of shows that his bleeding. So you got to start somewhere. And that's a start for right now. And I'm loving it, man. I just can't wait for them to get there. A couple weeks earlier than in camp and get this ball, and because you know, I just got a feeling, man. I'm not saying they're gonna win 54 games like they did a few years ago. It has that same kind of people, man, where it's like it's the Knicks. Nothing really is expected much of them. You know what I'm saying? It's just pretty much Carmelo and who else. And you know, I think some of the people that we got go well with them, man. And I'm just waiting to see. How everything transpires. I think it's going to shock a lot of people, and they're going to have a better record than what's being forecast. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if you saw a career year from Carmelo this year. And I think he'll definitely be using his teammates more. And a lot of people, you know, they like to say that Melo is a ball hog. But, you know, if they go back to that 2012-2013 season, that was his highest assist season. He had no problem giving up the ball when he knew people was going to take the shot and make the shot. So, you know, Melo was going to give them guys enough chances in the beginning of the year to show what they made of and that he could count on it. And once he sees he can count on them, it's not going to be a question of whether or not he's going to make the correct basketball play. You know, I got to agree with my man from the left coast. You know, it may not be an all-star team, but they're building a solid foundation. You got to start somewhere, man. You can't just build a whole house up and don't have no concrete for your foundation. So, you know, this is the foundation. And I like it because there's a lot of cats that's hungry. You know, they're looking for a contract, even though they signed, you know, a three-year deal. There's guys that's hungry, man, guys who've been limited in their game action, who haven't had a chance to really show their true talent. And you got guys that's looking to get paid, you know, like a Flotto. You know, Williams, I think if you give him a fine role and give him some decent coaching, and you don't give him three head coaches a year, and you don't a franchise like him.
Yo, everybody mute your phones if you're not talking.
Okay, you got me the phone, bro.
You know what I mean? The young boys, you know, Porzingis, and especially Grant, man. Grant, I said it before, man. I think Grant is like the second most important player on this team besides Melo, man. And that's not going to change the feet. From what I saw in Summer League and what I think I'm going to see in the preseason, I can buy that.
Yes.
Yep. Well, that's what's up. That's why we got a sim right here. We got all the stakeholders, the Godfather, Steve, myself. Let's just go right into it, since we ain't got really any rumors to discuss or anything really going on in terms of Knicks news. Let's get into the player spotlight today. This week, we are featuring second-year guard forward Cle'Anthony Early. Of course, we all know where he came from, Wichita State. He was a second-round pick, 34th pick overall in 2014. Last year, he averaged 5.4 points, 0.09 assists, 2.5 rebounds. He has a season high of 18 points last season and a 111-80 loss to the Clippers back on March 25th. But then he showed his ass out a little bit in those first two Summer League games. Guys, what do you guys think about Cle'Anthony Early?
Let's go to Marlo, then go to Jeff. Nick Strike back. Sim, Nick Abaka, Av, Chris, and myself. Marlo, Mr. Cle'Anthony, early your thoughts.
Cle'Anthony Early was a bit of a tease last season. I understand a lot of dysfunction was going around, and he was a rookie. And, he didn't have Melo for any guidance or anything like that, especially since he was backing him up. So, it's hard. It's a hard transition, especially from the highlights I've seen of Wichita State. You know, he had, like, a lot of aggressiveness. He had a lot of scoring, it looks like. And, you know, he just really looked like a different player. But, again, he had to make that transition, and the Knicks really weren't in a good state for him. But, you know, this is another thing which I keep saying. The Knicks have got to try to develop him. Now, so far what I saw with the Summer League, he looked the way he does when he plays, like, either with the Westchester Knicks or in Summer League. He always looks good. His defense still needs work. And I did see that he did hit the gym. You know, he's gained some muscle, which is good too. But he really has to show that he can be that backup for Melo. And, with a lot of the parts and pieces that's going on, these guys are going to be fighting for spots. And, you know, I can't put too much on Cle'Anthony because the Knicks organization also has to show that they could develop talent. You know, they still really haven't, you know, under this new Phil Jackson regime, that's part of the thing that they want to do. And we as fans want to see that. We want to see a guy who can possibly develop into someone who's very serviceable instead of trading away all our assets. So I'm hoping that he and Thanasis and a few more of these young guys who are coming, that they start to at least to be develop into serviceable and reliable young rotation parts. And, it's part of on the Knicks organization that has to get these guys to get to that point.
All right. Who's up next?
All right. Let's go to our man, Jeff. Jeff, your thoughts on Cle'Anthony Early. And if any, also, we go back around, any additional thoughts on your mind as far as the Knicks, you feel free to fire away on the forum for the fans. Jeff.
Yeah, I don't know what to think about Cle'Anthony Early. I like him. I like the potential, at that position. He can play guard and he can play small forward. I think that he's going to be competing, like the last caller said, he's going to be competing for minutes now that he's got all this competition, how long they are at most positions. It's going to force him to kind of develop a little bit quicker. I don't know if that's a good thing. A huge part of his development, obviously, is going to come within the organization, how they do in the D-League and, you know, all that. If he keeps getting put down in the D-League, maybe to play a little bit more, maybe to develop a little bit more. But I like him. I like his skill set. When he's offensively honed in, he can get to the basket pretty well. He's a pretty physical guy. He's pretty explosive. I like what he can do. I think that he needs to lock in a little bit more on the defensive end. He needs to show a little bit more on that end, and he needs to be consistent. But that comes with staying out. He's got to stay healthy for long enough periods of time for him to hone his skill set and then polish it off. So I'm hopeful for him, being that he's Phil's first real pick. And, you know, so hopefully everything pans out for him. And I'll just put out there, as far as, you know, another topic for discussion, maybe we can discuss it in a little bit. I loved what Phil did with the draft. And I'm not just talking about Porzingis. I'm getting a Jerian Grant jersey as soon as I can. I think that kid is going to be so damn good. When you look at his numbers and when you really, like, sit back and think, holy shit, third in the NCAA last year in win share, His offensive rating peaked at in his fucking junior year at 132.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
What? What? Are you kidding me? This kid does everything. How the fuck did we trade Tim Hardaway Jr. for this kid? How did we do that?
Really?
And then you look at, like, Hernan Gomez is over in Spain. He looks pretty
oh,
good.
Oh, yeah.
All three of their picks, when we only had one in the beginning of the night, and I'm at work the night of the draft pick, and I'm watching, I'm looking at ESPN, and I'm watching, waiting, and I see Porzingis. Okay, fine. So my eyes, I go back to work. Then I look back up later on, and it's like, oh, Knicks trade for Jaren Grant. I mean, what the hell? He sneaks in, he gets Jaren Grant for Tim Hardaway Jr., and he also picks up Willie Hernan Gomez. That's
mm-hmm.
one hell of a draft. So if we could talk about that a little bit later, I'm all for that.
That's good. All right,
that's cool. That's cool. Who we got next? Let's go to Nick Strike Back, Rashawn. Is Rashawn still on the line? Oh, he missed the drive. Come back on. Let's go to Sim. Sim's next, right?
Yeah, go
yes,
to
sir.
Yeah, man. I mean, listen. Klay Anthony is he looked like he improved a little bit over the summer league. He's healthy, but I think the fact that you got Derek Williams now. You know, you don't have to rush him to be that backup to Melo. You can just let him naturally progress, you know, and he can get some time down in basically in between. You know, he can get himself better. And that's pretty much what, you know, what the Nets may be looking at. You know, he may get some spot minutes here and there, but he may have to get some time, you know, between the D League and the big club, and you know, like my man was just saying, man, people killed him for the Porzingis pick. I'm sure a lot of people were like,
"Losing me, bro." Hello.
No, you know it.
Simply, I think you're breaking up. I don't know, but maybe it's my end.
Yeah, you
breaking. I think you're breaking up.
Can you hear me better now, fellas?
Yeah,
clear. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like I'm sitting here like, how the hell did Phil fleece Atlanta for Tim Hardaway Jr. for that draft pick, man? I mean, when I looked at it, I said, damn, the Knicks may have gotten a younger, cheaper, bigger version of Kyle Lowry, because remember, that was the trade we had on the table a season or two ago that we never made, you know, because we were supposed to give up a first-round pick to potentially get him, and we already didn't have that many first-round picks. So the fact that you were able to get a first-round pick for Tim Hardaway and someone that's a lot better, and then, you know, I mean, like, Hernan Gomez, man, that boy is going to be a beast. When you just check the last game that they had, the qualifying games to get into the cup games that they have over there, that boy in 18 minutes, scored 12 points, grabbed 6 rebounds, had 2 blocks, and a steal, man. I mean, you can't ask for anything more than that in that limited amount of time. And this is playing on the front line behind Serge Ibaka and both the Gasol boys. So you know your time is limited. So for you to come out and play 18 minutes in a game and come out with that type of stat line, man, I mean, dude is just going to be a huge, huge asset for the team down on the low block. Next year, you know what I mean? It's looking up, man. It's looking up for me, and I'm happy, man. Like I told you guys before, I done went through the Scott Layden years. I done went through the Isaiah years, man. The most I can do is just give Phil a chance to get this rolling. I mean, I'm not going to sit here with the blinders on and sip the Jim Jones Kool-Aid like so.
You're breaking up, man. We can't hear you. I can't hear you. Maybe it's just me.
I know he caught a lot of flack, you know, for some of the trades he made earlier. But I mean, when you look at the trades that he made, look at the J.R. Smith trade. I mean, listen, he just signed back for less money than his player option was worth because nobody wanted him. So they was getting on. If people was really getting on Phil, why didn't you get more for him? Well, if JR was that much of a good commodity, GMs would have been banging on his door to sign him. They didn't.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I love Shumpert and the energy that he brought, Shumpert is not a $10 million a year player. So the fact that he was able to get a Flalo for $8 million was a steal in and of itself. You know what I mean? And then the fact that Chandler got $52 million from Phoenix, I was like, yo, Phoenix GM must be on drugs. He must be on drugs because Chandler is not near what he was when he first got to the Knicks. So, I mean, when you look at all the moves in retrospect, okay, it looked bad, the Chandler deal, because at the end of the day, you see Mozgov go with the Cleveland for 2 first-round picks. But, I mean, shit, at the end of the day, that was during the middle of the year. It didn't make a sense to keep a guy like that that wasn't going to fit your system and do what you needed to do. So you got what you could get for him. You know what I mean? And so everything that looked bad on the surface looks like, it was an all right move right now. But the biggest thing is just how Grant and Porzingis and Thanasis, how all these young draft picks pan out. Because that's pretty much how you build your team, man. I mean, if anything, San Antonio and Golden State has showed you how you build your team, man. You build the core of your team through the draft. Then, you know what I mean, you have your veteran big money guys, and then you might have a player that you add through free agency or through a trade to just, to supplement what you already have to put you over the top. So we started from the ground floor, but, a lot of people think we're in the basement. I think we're more on the second or third floor, but a lot of people just don't see it yet.
Started from the bottom, now we're getting there. That's what you're saying, right? Is that it?
There you go.
That's how the song goes, but I mean, hey, I'm with my man Sam, but let's get some fresh meat and some fresh perspective. Caller from the 267, that's got to be in Philadelphia. Caller from 267, state your name, where you're calling from.
Yo, this is Brian from Philly, just calling in. What's going on?
What's going on, Brian? How you doing?
What's up, man? How you doing?
What's going on, here? Chilling. What's going on?
Right now, we got a little bit of whatever is on your mind, fan forum. I know Jeff wanted to discuss what everybody's thoughts was with the draft. The player spotlight this week is Klay Anthony Early. Your thoughts on Klay Anthony Early, anything you want to discuss with the draft or anything you want to discuss with the Knicks in general, and we'll go back around. Your thoughts.
We got to think about our roster and where we at right now. Klay Anthony Early, he was a second-round pick, so I'm not putting too much pressure on him. I would love for him to have, more all-around skills in regards to ball handling and things like that, but, I take him for what he is. I mean, if he's going to be, our 12th man off the bench, I can't put too much pressure on the kid. Hopefully one day he'll become maybe a good spot-up shooter, or he'll be able to put the ball on the floor and get to the rack. That remains to be seen. But, for now, he's somebody that we drafted. We just need to, I guess, give him some time and see if he works out. And if not, then, he'll be included in the future trade, I think. So, but for now, like I said, 11th, 12th man off the bench. I mean, what more can you ask for?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I couldn't put it better myself again. I mean, I'm feeling everybody's opinions about Klay Anthony, the positives and the negatives. Me personally, I'm okay if he has another couple of stints in the D League, probably gets some more experience. I really do think that sometimes that a lot of his college coaches and and people that knew him back at Wichita State, what they were saying is that maybe he could have really benefited from another year or two at the NCAA level, but hey, he's here, he's a Knick. He didn't have that bad of a year. I think considering the fact that the Knicks were just in a bad place, Phil was doing a lot of house cleaning, getting a lot of the bad guys out of there, the bad influences, just such as the J.R. Smith and the Iman Shumpert. And I think Tim Hardaway Jr. kind of fell into that same kind of motif, so that kind of rubbed off a little bit on Klay Anthony, but I just hope that this year with the new team and the new surroundings and now the new expectation, because every year, of course, no matter who's wearing the uniform, we have a brand new expectation for this team. Realistically or not unrealistically, it's the expectation that they're going to have to meet,
And we just hope to see that Cle Anthony Early does meet that expectation. Whether he's a 12th man, 11th man, he's the 6th man, or he's freaking starting. I doubt he is, but I'm just saying. We want Cle Anthony to go on. Godfather.
Well, there's not really much to say. I can't build on anything else that everyone's already said, especially you, Nick Knickerbocker. Look, you got a 24-year-old kid. He's from the Bronx. He knows how to handle any kind of adversity, especially this train wreck that he's been brought into. But he's got some mentors here. And he's a kid that we already know about his physical upside, his athletic upside. He just needs direction. And that's what we're working on. And I hope he gets it before there are any other moves that can possibly involve him. Okay? I just hope he stays and sort of sees this out. You know, they all have potential. You know, it's just a matter of manifesting it. And with the people that are in the front office for the franchise at this point, I think he can get it. And it can have some positive reinforcement, which brings me to the history of how important this franchise's management can influence the tide of history, you know? Now, I'm going to take you guys back long, long time ago, way back in the dark days. Well, actually, 1999. We just came out of the finals. And that was, for some reason, during that season, we had a former player that used to play for us. He was our general manager. And he was the team president, Ernie Grunfeld. He was fired during that year. Why? I do not know. It was a lot of things going on. They were going to fire the Sam Gundy. I don't know how many of you guys were alive during that time, but there was every newspaper, every outlet, every tabloid, every sports show wanted Van Gundy's head for some reason. You know, it wasn't really a lot of his problem. The Knicks kind of backed into the playoffs, and of course they made the finals, and that was one of the more exciting periods of our history. But we didn't have a team president that year. And, of course, we didn't have a general manager. So we went into the 99 draft without anyone sitting there, you know. Grunfeld's assistant, Ed Topscott, he was the guy that was designated, really, but he didn't know what to do. He had never attended the draft before, even though he was interim, quote-unquote, interim general manager. So the draft basically is going to be his show. He didn't bring anybody with him. He didn't bring any scouts, nobody from the front office. It was just him, and he didn't know what the fuck was going on. So if you guys remember that team, that was when, you know, Patrick was in the twilight of his career, and the feeling that year was that even though the draft didn't have any true centers, you know, we needed to replace Patrick immediately. That was the whole scenario at the time, you know. So there wasn't no, like I said, there wasn't any communicating going on at all. And the coaching staff was a little busy at the time because they were trying to find other jobs because no one expected Van Gundy to sit around. So here we are at the draft, and the draft was held that year. It was held in, I'm pretty sure it was either in Washington or Boston. I'm not really sure. But it wasn't really there. It wasn't in New York. And that was a good thing. Okay, one thing I do know that is one of the guys, the potential players that was sitting there waiting to be called in the first round was a guy named Ron Artest. And everyone who was a Knicks fan just knew he was going to be our number one draft pick. You know, it was the 15th overall pick, and there was no reason to think otherwise. He was projected like somewhere between 20 and 25, so it kind of fit us right. You know, local kid, you know, from Queensbridge, you know, from St. John's. St. John's had gone to Elite Eight. He, you know, he had a high profile. Everyone knew who he was, third team All-American. It looked pretty good. I think he was second team Big East, if I can remember right. Yeah, I think it was, you know, everything was an up and up. So everybody's sitting there waiting for him to be picked by the 15th pick. And then all of a sudden, David Stern says, Frederick Weiss. And instead of the usual booing, that normally happens. You know, if you've ever been to the jet strap, you know what I'm talking about. Instead of that, rah! It was more like, it sounded like this. And everyone was shocked. It was a shocking moment. Nobody knew who the hell he was, okay? Nobody had ever heard of him. Here's the funny part. No one in he was not projected among the top 20 centers in the world.
Oh, my God.
When he was drafted. And it was sad. So, look, to make a long story short, he never played a single game for us. He showed up for a workout the summer after he was drafted, and he looked lost then. You know, Van Gundy was still a coach. He had little time for him, man. He never came over for training camp that year. He stayed in Europe. The next year he played for France in the, I think it was the 2000 Olympic Games in Sydney. But the good news for him was that he came away with a silver medal in that tournament. And the bad news for him was that he became an international fucking embarrassment of basketball. When Vince Carter was playing for the Team USA, he literally jumped over this mother. You know how you go, you know how it was in parks, man, when you're coming up and you hear guys say, man, I'm going to slam on your head, or, you know, I'm
a dunk de la morte.
Yes. Well, Vince Carter literally did that shit. He jumped over Rice's head for a fucking posterization that to this day is basketball. How do you call it? What do you call it?
Infamy?
The Roman. Yes. Anyway, to make a long story short, you know, Artest, you know, he got drafted by Chicago. He played about 2.5 seasons there, and he went to the Pacers, and he developed into an all-star, and he was the NBA Defensive Player of the Year in 2004, and he actually won a ring in L.A., I think in 2010. Oh, I think it was 2010, yeah. So he made his mark. Of course, he made his mark in other ways, but we ain't going to talk about the story. And he did things like that. But here's the irony, and I'm going to end it with this. Donnie Walsh became our general manager later on, I think in 2009, and he put a fitting end to this Weiss era when he traded, because we had to keep the guys' rights. So he traded the rights to the Houston Rockets, Reggie Weiss's rights to the Houston Rockets, and the player he got in return was Patrick Ewing Jr. So there you go. That was it. That's my Knicks history fucking moment. You can take that to the grave with you and fuck Reggie Weiss too.
For those of you who do not know what the dunk de la morte, that is translates to the dunk of death, and that is the famous Vince Carter dunk where he took Frederick Weiss's face and stuffed it into his nuts.
Yeah.
That's right. And if you ever go
balls on my head.
YouTube that moment, you will see Kevin Garnett crack the fuck up.
That was amazing.
Hey, Steve, you still got a caller on hold?
Yes, yeah, we're gonna bring on the caller, but that is Knicks history with the Godfather exclusively on the Bleed Blue Show. For the fans, let's bring them on. Who we got?
973. Caller from the 973. State your name, where you're calling from.
I think that's a film, y'all.
Oh, that's a film.
Oh, okay.
That's a film.
I thought you were still alive.
Hung up. that's what I thought. All right,
you know
let's go back around. Oh,
you know you're getting comfortable with the Bleed Blue Show when somebody says, oh, that's a sim. It sounds like you're saying, that's basically that you're saying, hey, somebody's at the door. Oh, it's him. Let him back in.
Hey, Chris, what's your thoughts as far as early, though?
I just said it. I pretty much know what everybody else says. I think the kid's going to need direction. And he's got the right people to give him that. He's got the right people to mentor him. He's got the right people to coach him. He's got the right people to lead him. But we have to have a little bit more of a settled environment here other than Melo and a few of the other players. Once that happens and he gets used to it, then he'll pretty much know his role. I think he's kind of young. When I say that, I'm not talking about I'm talking about basketball aptitude. You know what I mean? I think the summer league was a very, very good experience for him, and probably a morale boost after last year. So, because when he was brought down in the minors, came back, and all that mess. So what I think his upside is fantastic. He has he's got a good attitude. I think he needs the aptitude in this system to make it. And I hope he gets it. Like I was saying before, I hope he gets it in case, I mean, because I think he's also trade bait. I really do. And I'm not saying that as a bad thing. I just don't – I just – you never can predict what Phil's going to do. So that's where I'm at with him. But I do like the kid, and I think he has something to offer us, you know, to our team. So that's what's happening.
My thing with Clay Anthony early, and we go back around to the guys at the top, it's like when I look at this roster, and it really – we have a whole bunch of guys who are hybrid players where you guys got who can play one and a two, you guys got
right.
who can play three and a four. And it really, really depends on who starts. And this affects his minutes. For example, if the Knicks go small, and I hope they go with the lineup of Grant, Aflalo, Anthony, Derek Williams, and Lopez. I can understand people making the case for O'Quinn, but I really think O'Quinn's more suited for off the bench for now. But
right.
if that's the lineup that starts the year, and I don't think it is, but that's the lineup I would put out, then you will see more minutes for Early coming off the bench because there's not that log jam at the three. It's because Melo plays the three, Derek Williams plays the three, and then you need to get some – then you have some minutes for Early. The downside of that is because I really think Early would be more effective if he had efficient point guard play. But that would mean Jerry and Grant would have to come off the bench, and I'm not really ready to sacrifice that because, in my opinion, he should be starting. He's day one starter. We all said the same
Absolutely.
Thing draft night
Absolutely.
On this show.
Absolutely.
As Jeff is saying the same thing early in his broadcast. He's starting material. And the Knicks, it would have surprised me if the Knicks put him off the bench because that's the Knicks for you, but us fans, we don't know better. So, in a nutshell. Clay Anthony Early, I think he could be real effective. He only averaged a little over 5 points a game this year. I can see it going up to six or seven. I mean, that's not a lot, but I really believe with Clay Anthony Early that he has to play defense. I'm not even worried about the offense. He has the capabilities to knock down that transition three-pointer off a slow break or a half fast break, whatever you want to call it. And his offense should be the least of all worries. It should be defense. And most of the guys coming off this bench should be defensive-minded. We need an identity, guys. The Knickerbockers need an identity. And it starts with Will. We don't have all the skill. This roster doesn't comprise of skill. It comprises of smart basketball players, smart IQ guys, with a superstar player. And the guy, if these guys could play some defense, if they could somehow crack the top 10 in defense, total points allowed, we'll be in decent shape, especially in the Atlanta division. But Clay Anthony Early needs to play defense, and I think they said it in the summer league. Like, if he doesn't play defense, he ain't going to see no minutes. So there's got to be other ways for him to be on the court. And his offense is okay, but it's good for the YMCA, it's good for AAU, it's good for the summer league. But for the NBA, I mean, it's okay. It probably does need work on, but if he's going to play it right away, he has to play defense. There's no questions about it. Let's go back around to Marlo. Is there anything else you want to add from go back from draft night? Because Jeff wanted to get your thoughts as far as what we all thought from draft night, or anything else you want to add with Clay Anthony earlier, just Knicks in general, Marlo.
Well, the draft night, of course, you know, me like everyone else, I at first was disappointed. I will admit that. Not only our position, but the drafting of Chris Bass, because, you know, I really didn't know too much about him, and I was, you know, basically kind of hoping for Winslow. But, you know, after I seen his first interview and how he took the booze and his maturity and how he didn't fold, because this kid does not fold. He just really has a great competitive attitude. And that's how much do you want from somebody who just turned 20? You know, this kid is really going to be something. He's going to he has to put on some weight, of course. But I'm very interested to see because I don't believe, again, it could be with my orange and blue glasses, but I don't believe it's going to take him that long to adjust. And plus, these guys, you know, at least on the offensive end, they have one of, again, and I quote, the top five offensive players in the modern-day era, Carmelo Anthony. And Melo does not mind teaching you. He helped Blake Griffin's game because because Blake was just a dunker, and Melo changed his game those few times that they were together. So what he can do for him, he could do for those young guys. So, you know, Melo, Derek Fisher, them being the elder statesmen, because, I mean, there's only, I think someone pointed out, there's only four Knicks from that last roster who survived to this next to this new roster. So, you know, so I think KP is going to benefit a lot from working with Melo. And same thing with the surprise that we were able to get Jerian Grant. His maturity, he's a much older. He's not a 19-year-old. He's not a 18-year-old that everyone was going for. And his coach has high praises about him. Also, his attitude is great, and he was impressive in the summer league with his poise, his control of the game. And, you know, you felt his presence as soon as he entered the game because he had control. And the teammates automatically, even second-year teammates, they automatically, you know, followed his direction. So this guy's going to be special. And I'm not sure they're going to start him right away. I wouldn't mind if they did, but, you know, who knows how he does with training camp. So it's going to be interesting, too. And with, you know, Hermangez, I don't know too much about him, but I did see after I'm not sure if there's a Sam who's mentioned about the points that he put up already. That's impressive because, again, you got to think. But still, for us to have one draft pick, we came out with three players. I mean, come on. If it was anybody else, it would be gold. But, you know, I think Phil did a good job on there. And I would even go as far as to say, don't count us out of not having a draft pick next season either.
No, cool. All right.
Cool.
Let's go to Jeff. Jeff, you heard the guy's thoughts as far as a little bit from draft night. What else as a fan as far as what you're – this summer is dying right now. There's nothing really going on. What's your thoughts of what the guys have said on this fan forum of what they thought from not that just the draft night, but just the roster moves, their thoughts as far as the makeup of this team, even with anything else you want to add with Clee Anthony early?
Well, yeah, before I get into the draft, everything, I would like to make one point on Clee Anthony real quick.
Sure.
At that small forward position, what do you look for? You need someone who's going to play defense, right, obviously. I mean, that's just step one on this team and in this franchise, hopefully, going forward, is defense first. You need someone who can shoot, right, space the floor a little bit and shoot, right? And you need somebody who's relatively tall, right, to play small forward, obviously, right? So my question is, does Clee Anthony beat out Sasha Vujicic for minutes at all?
Well, Sasha's a guard, though, right?
I think Sasha's 6'7".
I think, yeah, he's 6'7", but he's an off guard.
I mean,
you know, he plays behind the follow.
Okay, all right. Now, I'm just thinking, like, as far as positionless basketball, kind of looking at, you know, where they mix and match these guards, just kind of mishmash them around. And you got Derek Williams playing the four and the three. And some, I mean, like, you know, they're talking about him, like, they're going to use him all over the place. So I'm just thinking, if they're going to bring in somebody to space the floor, play defense here and there behind, you know, say Melo or some along those lines. I mean, I don't know if I see Clee Anthony early really getting in there before they put in Sasha.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know. We'll see. But I think that's why they brought in Sasha. But
that's interesting.
As far as the draft goes, I mean, the thing that I haven't really been talking to you guys for too long, so I could go on. I haven't spoken a word about Porzingis. I haven't brought him up whatsoever in my very short stint talking to you guys. So I could go on forever with that kid. I'm excited when you really think about it. When you really think about it, I mean, Phil might have scored us our starting center and starting point guard for the next 10 years. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, you know, you got to give Porzingis time. He's not going to be starting center or maybe starting power forward. I don't know what they're going to do. The dude's 7'2". So once if he can put on some weight and play defense, I don't see why he's not your center. But, you know, you really stop and you think about it. Phil made some moves in the draft that, like, Jerian Grant, like, the more I just have to say his name and I smile. I'm excited. Nice. I mean, you're looking at a point guard. And how long, we're all Knicks fans here, how long has it been since you had a point guard that you can actually get up and say, hey, that's my point guard. I'm so happy that he's here.
Boy.
You had Jeremy Lin for like a couple months, and that was really just pure entertainment. And that was it. That was it for the last like decade. And Phil goes in, swoops up this kid for Tim Hardaway Jr., and it's barely talked about. What's like no one's talking about it at all.
Exactly.
And, you know, I love it. I love it looking at it. I love seeing Hernan Gomez going to us, and I, you know, seeing Jaren Grant and Porzingis, but, you know, I'm excited.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Let's go to
Sim and then go to Brian, and we'll cut that off and then go to trivia. Let's go to Sim.
Hey, man. Everything my man just said is right on point, man. I mean, especially the Grant. I mean, and when it comes to homegrown point guards, man, he looks like he could be our next Rod Strickland, man. And I ain't gonna lie, fellas, I wanted to cry yesterday, man. I was cleaning up around the house and they had the NB90s on NBA TV, man, and they showed Rod Strickland in that Knicks number 11, and I was damn. I miss them days, man. And that Joker could get into the knife into that lane, yo, and just drop a dime or score. And Grant is a bigger version of him with that, man. So I'm looking forward to that. But I'm going to keep it short because I'm looking forward to the Knicks trivia. And we got to, Av, we gotta bring the trophy back, man. This is the week. This is the week.
It's coming home. It's coming home. It's coming home.
Okay. Who's up, bro?
Let's go to Brian. Brian, your thoughts on what everybody else has said. And anything else you want to add as far as your thoughts on our Knicks?
I mean, just to kind of go off the Clay Anthony early, you know, thing. To me, I feel like behind Carmelo, if we play Carmelo at the three, Derek Williams is going to be the backup three to Carmelo. And behind them, too, is going to be either Lance Thomas or Clay Anthony Early. And I vividly remember what Lance Thomas provided to us last year. And I'm not saying that he's, you know, great, but at least I know what he's going to bring every single night. He's going to bring hustle. He's going to knock down the mid-range jumper. He's going to play pretty, like, really good defense. And if he's going to be that third string small forward behind Melo and Derek Williams, then I ask again, like, where does Clay Anthony Early fit in? And, you know, in that whole scheme, because he's young, so we really don't know what he brings to the table, but does he get more time than Lance Thomas based off of the niche and what, you know, we know Lance Thomas will bring to the game every single night. So, you know, I like Clay Anthony Early. You know, it's just a matter of if, you know, he's actually going to be a good fit for this team, you know, at this particular time. You know, that's my biggest thing. But, you know, as far as the draft is concerned, I mean, I think that, you know, Phil, like you said, Phil Jackson went in with just one pick, came out with three, you know, two possible starters, you know, if not this year, more than likely sometime next year. We might have a point guard and either power forward or center, you know, next year, and they both could possibly be starters. And then who knows what we're going to get out of Hernan Gomez, but the fact that he actually made the Spanish national team, you know, that speaks volumes, you know, and says that he's pretty good. Well, I would think so anyway. So, you know, you got three possible rotation players out of this one draft. You know what I mean? So, you know, you got to give Phil Jackson the heads up or A-plus on that one, just for the fact that he was able to pull two possible starters and another rotation player in one draft when we went into it with just one draft pick. So, I'm excited to look forward to it.
Right. Sounds good, man. That's great. Great stuff, guys. Fanformer. Knickerbocker Av, we'll jump into some trivia and we'll resume with you once we're done. I won't ask everybody individually, but everybody's down for trivia. Anybody is not down for trivia, just say yay or nay. Anybody down?
Well, I'm down.
Nah, we
Battle's
got
coming
Nick
home.
We got number
Nick. All right,
yeah,
all right, cool. Yes.
Yeah. Yo, let me just squeeze in real quick. I'm sitting in my driveway for the last like 45. I gotta get inside. I'm sorry. But hey, I just wanted to say you know, great show. I will keep calling in. You know, I really like the way you guys have this all set up. And I just wanted to put out there real quick. I don't know if I have everybody following or if anybody listening. You know, the discussion doesn't obviously have to end here. I'm on Twitter. I'm constantly talking on Twitter. I am at that New York Knicks fan, at that NYK fan. So just, you know, give me a follow and the discussion can continue. Thanks for listening to me today, guys. And I'll definitely be calling in. I'll definitely be calling in next week. All right.
All right, man.
Shout outs to Jeff. I'll be listening.
Thanks for
talking Knicks from the driveway, man. You talk about some loyalty from a fan. He's in the driveway.
That's a cool
chopping
that's
it up with the fan.
The driveway.
That's some dedication right there.
I remember some Knicks fans pulled over to the side of the highway. Guys like Jeff and those are the type of fans I'm talking about right there, man.
Well Steve, I can tell you, I get phone calls, and I'm like, I'm on the other line. Can I call you back when I talk to the Blue Show?
Yeah.
It's deep.
Oh, yeah.
It's deep.
Oh, people know not even to bother me on Wednesday between 9 and 11. I put a big-ass do not disturb, do not mess with me, or I will curse you out kind of thing. Everybody gets it.
I'll develop that kind of relationship with people around me. But for right now, as you guys heard before, my wife is in a good place with me, and I gotta go inside.
All right, cool. All right, have a good one.
Take care of that business.
Sounds good.
All right, let's go with order for the trivia. The Godfather. Then Knickerbocker Ave, then Asim, Brian, then Marlo. All right?
Try to
mix and match them all. So everybody mute your phones real quick. Let's go to the Godfather first, straight from vacation. Put them right on the hot seat. So everybody mute your phones. Let's go to, we'll get the music going. Knickerbocker Ave. Godfather, you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. In 10 seconds. All right, let me get everything ready. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, let's go. How many seasons did Herb Williams play? Is he there?
15.
Golphin Weston took over ownership for the Knicks in which year?
Oh, shit, Golphin Weston. Goddamn. 04?
In the summer of 2005, the Knicks signed a $30 million contract. Which Knick joined his team with a $30 million contract in 2005?
Steve Francis.
In the 90s, how many Game 7s the Knicks played at Madison Square Garden? How many Game 7s?
Oh, my God. How many Game 7s at Madison Square Garden? Let me see. Indiana.
In the 90s.
Three.
How many times did the New York Knicks trailed in the 1969-70 NBA Finals? 5 seconds.
I didn't hear the question. I'm sorry about that. I didn't hear the question.
All right, let me do it like this. How many times the Knicks trailed in the 69-70 Finals?
Shit. I don't know, Steve. Three. I was only nine.
All right. Let's go. Oh, my bad. I don't know. It got stuck.
All zero.
Let's go to. He got zero. The Godfather got zero. Let's go to Knickerbocker. Where is Knickerbocker?
I'm right here, my boy. I'm ready. All right. I'm ready.
Well, you guys were able to hear the questions. I thought I had the thing a little bit too up in the volume. You good?
Turn down the music a little bit, and then you're good. Just a little bit.
Okay, I think that's my bad. I take blame for that. Going 10 seconds. 5, 9, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Here we go. What was the primary backcourt the 2003-2004 season?
Pass.
All right. How many times the Knicks played the Lakers in the 69-70 regular season?
No.
Which Knick was drafted in the first round of the 1988 NBA draft?
Shit. Oh, Ross Strickland.
Who is the subsequent Knicks head coach after Jeff Van Gundy?
Don Chaney.
Which playoff seed were the Knicks in the 93 playoffs? 10 seconds.
They were the fourth seed.
And LaVal Postel attended which university?
Who?
LaVal Postel.
Oh, St. John's.
Okay. That's my bad on the question. He got three. Knickerbocker ass sitting on a three. Who we got next?
You gave Knickerbocker ass every question I could answer.
Well, hey, in my defense, that usually happens. Like, I'll get like maybe one or two right, and the other ones I'm like, what the fuck? And then the next guy, man.
Okay, good. All right, you're sitting good, man. Let's go to the other half of Knickerbocker. Let's go to Sim. And Sim, you ready?
Yes, I am.
All right, let's give him a 10-second head start. Let's see. All right, in 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Which year did Mark Jackson return for his second time as a Knick?
Pass.
Which teams the Knicks got past to get to the 1999 NBA Finals?
Pass.
Which team did Carmelo score a career best against?
Charlotte.
Who is second in all-time blocks for the Knicks?
Marcus Camby.
Between 1990 and 2015, how many times the Knicks won at least 50 games?
Three.
Who did the Knicks draft in the first round of the 2006 NBA draft?
2006. I want to say 2006. Pass. Next question.
Whose number 12 was retired by the Knicks?
The name is right on the tip of my tongue. Cassie Russell.
All right. The other half of Knickerbocker Ave assuming has gotten one correct. Let's go to Brian. Brian, are you ready for a trivia?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. Let's give him a 10-second cushion. Let's see. And 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Jeremy Lin was claimed off waivers previously on what NBA team before he came to the Knicks?
Before he came to the Knicks, I'm going to say, I don't know, pass. I don't know that one.
Who eliminated the Knicks in the 1996-97 NBA playoffs?
Pacers.
Whose number 12 was retired by the Knicks?
Pass.
How many versions of Madison Square Garden has there been all time?
How many different versions you said?
Yeah. Yes.
I'm going to say 3.
All right. How many points Walt Frazier scored in Game 7 of the 69-70 NBA Championship game? 10 seconds.
48.
And which New York Knicks coach has the highest winning percentage of any coach in franchise history?
Pat Riley.
All right. All right, Brian has gotten one correct. Let's go to Marlo. Marlo, are you ready?
Phone's unmuted.
All right, let's go. We'll put the Think Tank music on there for you, buddy. And 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. In the 1992-2000 season, which Nick was on the court fighting Kobe Bryant at the Staples Center?
Chris Childs.
And which Knicks player was dubbed the Dunk versus the Chicago Bulls in the 93 playoff game?
John Starks.
Who is third? Who's the third all-time leading scorer for the Knicks in Knicks history?
Third all-time. Ewing?
Who took over as Knicks head coach in
1987? Pat Riley?
Charles Oakley was traded to the Knicks in exchange for what player? 10 seconds.
Charles Oakley. Bill Cartwright.
The year James Dolan became majority owner for the Knicks is which year? Last question.
I don't know, but it was sad. I'll say 1985. I don't know.
All right. All right, we have a tie between Marlo and Knickerbocker Ave. Tiebreaker similar to last week. I'll ask the question first guy to get it right on the line. After I reveal the question or even in mid-question, answer gets it right, goes on in round two. Are you guys ready?
Go ahead.
All right. Who was the second? All right, let me do it like this. Who was the second three-point makes of the Knicks all time? Who's second?
Trent Tucker.
What was the question?
Who's second in all time three point makes for the Knicks? I'm sorry. Who's second in all time 3-point makes? Field.
Alan Houston.
There you go. All right, he's got it correct. Knickerbocker Ave is on to round two. Round two, Knickerbocker Ave, you ready to go?
Let's go.
1 minute. All right, without further ado, let's do it right now. I'll ask the question. Which year was the New York Knickerbockers established?
1946.
God damn. All right. Knickerbocker Ave, he got it correct.
Right.
Wow.
The originals.
He murdered that.
Dude, I've known that forever.
Oh, okay. That was a layup, man. Shout out to Knickerbocker Ave. Shout out to bringing the title home. The streak has been broken. Trust me, I'm going to have some tougher questions next week. Tough. I can't wait. I was thinking about doing a riddle, but...
Celebration time, funny, the title's home!
This dude's funny, man. This guy's funny, man. Yeah, I thought about doing a riddle. I think I'm going to bring back the riddle next week. I just didn't have the time, and not the way I really wanted to do it. But yeah, congratulations to Knickerbocker Ave. Matter of fact, Knickerbocker Ave, you are up next on the fan forum on Clee Anthony Early or anything else you want to add.
Well, I think I already covered Clee Anthony Early, so let's move on to the rest of the to the Knicks. We posted earlier this week, you know, some videos of Derek Williams. Some videos of the team practicing in Puerto Rico. I'm really liking what they're doing. I'm really liking the fact that Melo is taking a lot of these guys under his wing and showing them the ropes, showing them that he is somebody that they can follow, that they can learn from, somebody that he's doing all the things that people have been giving him crap for, saying that he's not a leader. Maybe he's not that boisterous, rah-rah kind of guy that we've all hoped that he'd be, like LeBron or Kobe or even MJ back in the day. But, I mean, the fact that he's taking these guys to Puerto Rico, they're bonding, they're having a good time, and then on top of that, they're also working out and working on some of the things that maybe Melo is expecting of them. Because, I mean, come on, he is a superstar. I mean, he's going to have some expectations of these guys. He's showing them the ropes of how it is to play as a New York Knick, which is not saying much considering, you know, it's a whole new system that everybody's still learning, but hey, it's something. It's showing that this team is trying to come together as a team. And when you're in the Eastern Conference trying to compete for a playoff spot, that's exactly what you need. Because very easily a team with 42, 43 wins can make it into the playoffs. Hell, you could probably make it with 37 wins. I mean, what was the AFC's record last year in the Eastern Conference? Like a 31 wins? So it's very possible that this team can actually put up 30, 35, 40, maybe 40 wins and then still compete well into the playoffs. And, hey, they can upset a team. You never know. I'm not going to say that. I'm just, you know, trying to be a little hopeful because, I mean, I think I've had enough weeks of me being Mr. Negativity, Mr. Anti-Optimism. Don't worry, he'll be back.
I believe it.
He'll be back. Wait till I have to kill another rumor. But, hey, that's how I see it. I'm glad that a lot of the guys decided to go down to Puerto Rico with Melo and actually start to work on some of the fundamentals of the triangle, so then that way, when it comes to the training camp, when it comes to the first couple of preseason games, they're not going to be all, you know, culture shocked and, you know, and be caught off guard because this system should be very fairly simple, but when you're so used to playing basketball the way you've been playing basketball, whether you've been playing it in college, high school, or just in the playgrounds, we all know sometimes certain styles don't clash, yours and the system. So sometimes you have to tailor your game. So they're going to tailor the game to Melo, and yeah, Melo has to tailor his game a little bit to them.
Christopher!
You know what? I've been listening, man. I forgot the question completely. What was the question, sir? I'm sorry. No, I was listening to everybody, and I just
are the Knicks going to win the championship before you die?
Yes, they will. I mean, okay. Hell, I wish they would win it before I grow another goddamn hair below. Yes, I think they will. I think they will. I think, you know, I honestly, you know what? I got to tell you. These guys, you know, the Phil regime, rather, they didn't come in here to, you know, just to, you know, be part of a franchise and say, okay, let's hope to win, fellas. I think what they came in here to do was to do just that. And I think they're taking a long approach that they're not actually discussing openly and actively with everyone, meaning the media. You know, and also, you know, you got to combine that fact with the fact that we are some really starving fans out here. The base and the city and the whole medium needs this team to perform at a very, very high level. And what I think they're trying to do, this is what I'm going to say. I'm going to proclaim this. I really, truly believe Phil Jackson and company are trying to build a winning dynasty style team as opposed to a winning team that's going to make the playoffs, bow out, have a bunch of free agent and salary cap issues, and bounce around again. I think they're trying to build something to last, but they're taking a painstakingly slow approach to that task. And we're just a bunch of impatient people. I truly believe that's what they're trying to do, honestly.
Yeah, I hear that, man. I'm willing to work with this regime. I've waited this long. Why not another 4 to 5 years? It may take that. I really like the IQ of this basketball team. It's been a while since we had a collection of basketball players that they seem smart. Or smart basketball, low risk type of guys. As far as they're not the most athletic or the most gifted, but they're going to play it the right way for the most part. And they have a guy to build around that team in Carmelo Anthony. And we have discussed Klay Anthony early, and I believe we have a lot of great points, and especially when it comes to depth chart issues. Him with the ability to come and get minutes, and I stick by with if he plays defense. I think, you know, they're going to want to see some sort of return on investment with that second round draft pick, try to make something out of it, because it could possibly be trade bait if they want to go that route. But I just think there's a logjam, just so many guys at that three that for him to get on the court, he's just going to have to do the extra to get on the court. But let's go back around because we're crunched on time for a little bit. Let's go to Marlo. And if Marlo, if you want to get your final thoughts, anything you want to talk about early, the Knicks, anything on social media you just can't stand, feel free to fire away, man.
I'm just looking forward to even when training camp starts. I just think that the Knicks are going to be a lot better than a lot of people are predicting. They have size, they have youth, they have two-way players, they have vets. They have some international, they have local. This team is really put together, and it's so much better than to spend all the money on Greg Monroe and then surround them with crap like they have been doing in the past. So it's going to take its time, but we're going to probably start out slow, which I'm predicting because they got a gel. But with these guys, and especially with Afalo and Melo, and with their leadership, they're going to bring these guys together. And hopefully sooner than later, and as we start winning, they're going to start earning that respect.
All right, cool, man. Thank you very much. And then what, shout-outs to you, Marlo. We see you on the social media, and you always repping the New York Knicks. Like, always. I mean, all the other teams that we rep, too, but especially for the New York Knicks. And shouting out all the guys on this platform, retweeting the show, showing the Knicks fans that, hey, they have a voice to voice their opinion as freely as they do. And you've come on consistently to rep our Knicks, and we look forward to having you always. And shouting you out, too, Marlo. It's a two-way street, man. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
All right, cool, man. Now let's go to, let's see, let's go to Asim is next. Asim, let's get your final thoughts as far as our New York Knicks. Clay Anthony Early, anything else you want to add, man?
Nah, man, I'm just anxious to see what the guys got on the court, man. You know, just got a lot of optimism, and I'm just ready to see, man. After last year, man, there's nowhere to go but up. And I just steadfastly believe that we won't surprise a lot of people, and we're going to be a lot better, you know, than a lot of people take us out to be. And I ain't going to lie, I almost passed the hell out when I actually heard Charles Barkley say the Knicks actually won't have a good season to make the playoffs. I thought for sure it was going to snow during the summer.
Yeah, and shout-outs to that half of Knickerbocker Ave, Sim, who's been very loyal to our teams, not only to the teams, repping our teams, but being on this platform consistently, giving his expertise and knowledge on our teams. Shout-outs to you, Sim, man. Thank you very much. Let's go to Brian, your final thoughts on the Knicks, our topic, and anything else you want to add.
Yeah, man. You know, the only thing I really want to add is that, you know, I like the IQ of this team right now as well. I really do think that we have a strong chance of making the playoffs as maybe like a 6 seed. I think we can go as high as 6. But the one thing that still, you know, kind of bothers me is the fact that, you know, I don't think that Calderon is going to be on this team by the time opening day comes around. And for several reasons. One of the main reasons is the fact that, you know, right now, he's on the books for 2 more years. And I don't think that they're going to, a lot of people say they might wait to the deadline. I don't think they can take that risk because if he does get injured, and right now he does show signs of being injury prone, he's 34, 35 years old, I don't think that they can take that risk to go into the season and possibly wait to the trade deadline to try to get rid of him. I think they should try to get rid of him this offseason, try to find somebody on a one-year deal. So when that contract expires, they'll have even more money to throw at somebody like a Kevin Durant. So it's just a matter of finding a taker. I'm not saying we're going to get like a Jamal Crawford or a Ricky Rubio or anything like that. But on a lesser scale, maybe like a Mario Chalmers, somebody like that in a one-year deal, one-year rental, that can take over that point guard position for at least a year, or if not, be a good backup to Jerry and Grant. And, you know, kind of go from there. So I love the makeup of the team. I just don't think Calderon's going to be the point guard of this team in the season.
All right, shout outs to Brian, Knickerbocker Ave, about under time. You got some final thoughts and rep the Ave, all your content.
You know where to find me, Knickerbocker Ave. But hey, we're 1 month out of training camp. We're like a month and a half left till the preseason starts. Can't wait till this thing starts already, so we can see and we can actually give some real analysis. Go ahead, Godfather.
No, I think that's all I need to say too, man. I'm saying what everybody else is saying, that we're Knickerbocker fans and we are patiently waiting to put another goddamn ring on our finger.
All right, man. Thank you very much, guys. Shout outs to our dudes Marlo, Jeff calling in from Pennsylvania, Sean calling from Los Angeles, Nick Strike Back Rashawn, Asim, Brian, Knickerbocker Ave, Chris. This is the best fan forum for Knicks fans. For Knicks fans with equal say, BleeBlueShow.com. You can go to all the audio archives on iTunes, Podcast Republic, and tune in to listen to the downloads to your smartphones. Or you can go to BleeBlueShow.com and go to the podcast link and get the archives of these shows. We're here every Wednesday, guys. We've been consistent with that. We're here every Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, to discuss this Knicks. We got to discuss this team, guys. And, of course, when the season's here, the post games, I can't wait for that. When we win games this time around, because last season, Marlo, these guys will tell you, man. I mean, it actually made it through talking it out, because some guys will tweet it out, make posts. I'd rather talk it out on the fan forum, man. I can sleep better that way. Guys, we're out of time, though. Next week, guys, I have some tougher questions for you, I promise. But other than that, guys, bleed blue.
Bleed blue. Blade Blue from the champ of the trip.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can